The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All the latest breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dos on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College Football Game Time, final hour of the 4 hour set here, 1 hour away from kickoff down on the flats between the Miami Hurricanes and the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in that noon window. Also in the noon window today, Florida and Texas, and we are taking you to live coverage of that game between the Gators and the Longhorns from Austin, live on Sports Radio 92.9, the game at the top of the hour. John Fricke and Chris Goforth with you. As we count down to Florida and Texas, a quick reminder that on the station tonight, Bulls and Hawks at State Farm. Tickets do remain at hawks.com/tickets after a heartbreaking Hawks loss in Detroit last night. 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip at State Farm Arena. Also at the same time, 7 o'clock if you're looking for the Atlanta United game, Atlanta United, five stripes at Miami against Messi and Suarez and that whole bunch. Win or go home game for them at 7 o'clock. That game will be on our sister station, Star 94. Okay, so Hawks will be on 92 on the game. Yeah, Atlanta United on Star 94 FM, all right? It is decision day here for a number of teams. It's not the greatest week in the NFL, in college football, especially the NFL, but since I brought it up, just I'm going to allow me to go over here for just a second, Chris. How excited are we for tomorrow? Hate week. Oh. I mean, do fans realize that if the Falcons win and the Bucs lose tomorrow, this thing is it's almost over.
Yeah, not only that, and you get a chance to go to New Orleans and take on a fairly beat-up Saints team right now. I think when you start looking at, you know, where this team was when they played for the first time and, you know, what was it, week four, I guess, and then you take a look at what New Orleans is going to roll out there tomorrow with no Chris Olave, and some of the other issues they're having to deal with. Derek Carr just coming back from an injury. That offense certainly wasn't on track last week. I think it sets up nicely for the Falcons. But having said that, you still got to go on the road and take care of business.
Right. And no Marshon Lattimore. He was traded to Washington. And no Dennis Allen. He was fired. So they got an interim coach who's their special teams coordinator. But, you know, those are kind of tricky, those first games with the new coach, as you always want to impress the new coach kind of thing. And it's never easy down in the swamp because it's hard to breathe when you're wearing nose plugs. So, you know, it's tough for the Falcons in that regard. Don't forget where the Super Bowl is being played this year either. Yeah, it's right there. anyway, that's for tomorrow. And I do want to say that tomorrow our coverage begins with a Wake Forest tailgate show with Joe Patrick and myself at 9 a.m. And we will swing into the network tomorrow at 11 a.m. with Chris Goforth and Mike Johnson on the pregame show. And, of course, Wes and Dave from The Call down in New Orleans. That is tomorrow, the Falcons and the Swampers. But today, first, college football decision day here. Noon window today, we mentioned Miami, Georgia Tech under an hour away from kickoff down on the flats, Florida and Texas, Purdue and Ohio State. Blech. The 3:30 window is the really big window today, Chris. Michigan at Indiana. There's been a lot of talk about Indiana, and we're getting into Georgia. Don't worry, Georgia fans, we're getting into Georgia, Ole Miss, and Alabama, LSU. There's been a lot of chatter about how good Indiana, you know, what, number one in the nation in this on offense, number one in the nation on that in offense, number two in the nation on that. They haven't played anybody. Now, I know that Michigan is not Michigan of last year, But is this a game where they at least get some cred if they go out and at home today are able to handle Michigan?
It's funny because I was going to ask you kind of the same way, just phrase it a little different. Do you think, because I do, I believe that there is a little bit of bias. I shouldn't say bias. I believe there is an undercurrent against Indiana when it comes to these polls because they're not a blue blood college football program. And when we talk about college football, you know, Michigan good, Indiana not good. And this year it's the exact opposite. And as we've talked about before, anytime you have human beings making decisions, that thought is going to have to – it's just like margin of victory. I don't care what anybody says. Margin of victory matters. And when you take a program like in Indiana that is historically viewed as being a basketball school – you start to have some success in football. I think folks are a little slow to come around to that.
So a noon 3:30 window, Michigan, Indiana, Army is at North Texas. Why are we mentioning that game? Boys and girls, Army's still unbeaten. Okay, they are still unbeaten. Georgia State at James Madison in that noon window. Clemson and Virginia Tech. I'll circle back to Clemson, Virginia Tech. Back to UGA and Ole Miss in that 3:30 window I should talk about. 3:30 window. Just so that you know windows here again. 3:30 window includes UGA, Ole Miss, Michigan, Indiana, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Army, North Texas. We're just keeping our eye on that one. Georgia State at James Madison. 4 o'clock window, Colorado at Texas Tech. We're going to be picking that game in our picks later in the hour. Kennesaw State is at UTEP in the only time they will ever make a trip to El Paso, even though they're in the same league with UTEP now because UTEP is out of the league at the end of the year and they're going to the Mountain West. South Carolina, by the way, that will be culture shock for some of the players at Kennesaw State. Now, my daughter went to Kennesaw State. I used to live in El Paso. And then when I was doing play-by-play, when I was a kid, I lived in El Paso. When I was doing play-by-play at San Diego State, we did games at UTEP. So I lived there, been to the Sun Bowl plenty of times, probably seen half a dozen games there. It is a different environment than Kennesaw State, okay? It's just, the Sun Bowl is different. You know, it's just an, the things about it I like, I'm just telling you it's different. 4:15, South Carolina and Vanderbilt, really intriguing game, and we're going to be talking about that game coming up a little bit later on in the hour, too. 7 o'clock, Mississippi State at Tennessee. By the way, this is the only time we're probably going to mention it, just real quick. Is this going to be a wipe-the-floor situation for Tennessee, a get-right game for Nico?
Should be. I mean, I think all the, you know, all the signs point to that being the case today. This is an opportunity against a not very good Mississippi State game to fix what ails you. And real quick, John, I do want to make mention, since you brought up Tennessee, a couple of weeks ago we had Bob Kessling on with us, who's in his 25th mm-hmm. year as the voice of the Vols. Bob announced this week he's going to retire. This will be his.
Oh, really?
His, I guess he is done whenever basketball is done.
All right. How old are you and I? Because I remember when Bob took over for John Ward.
Yeah.
And it's football time in Tennessee. And, you know, the legendary John Ward. It was always hard to follow that guy, right? It was always hard to follow John Ward at Tennessee or John Forney in Alabama or Larry Munson at Georgia. Always hard to follow that guy, the legend, right? And Bob did a really good job. Eli Gold did, I thought, a really great job. Bob did a really great job. It's a really difficult situation to follow a legend like that.
So, it is, and you're right.
Congrats to him.
He did a fantastic job, and you know, I think somebody now is going to have to go in and you know, try to fill his shoes, whoever
right.
the next guy may be.
7:30 tonight, Alabama, LSU, 7:45, Oklahoma, Missouri, 8 o'clock, Washington, Penn State. Don't sleep on that game because of the fact that Penn State has to win out to be a wild card. And Washington's they're not an awful team. I mean, they're not a great team, obviously not the same team, but they're not an awful team. 10:15, if you're up late, BYU, Utah, Holy War, we're going to pick that game in our pick 'em poker a little bit later in the hour here. Back to Georgia, okay? So a lot of questions about Georgia. Look, I still think they're the best team in the nation, but I do have questions about them. They can't afford to lose, obviously, at Ole Miss. They go from number two to who knows if they're even still in the, you know, it depends. They may not even be ranked. I would think they might be, but they may not be. Carson Beck, I find this interesting, okay? This is what I find interesting, Chris. Georgia fans at one point wanted to give up on Jake Fromm and they wanted Justin Fields, or they wanted JT Daniels. They wanted to give up on, you know, on Stetson Bennett and they wanted JT Daniels. They wanted to give up on somebody like this, right? They always wanted the next guy. Nobody's really clamoring for Gunnar Stockton at the moment. But one of the things that's true is that Kirby Smart always stayed true to his quarterback, whether for better or for worse. And in most cases, for better, because, you know, there was Stetson when everybody wanted to have him benched, balling out to beat Alabama, you know, coming back from that interception and winning a national championship. So is it a good idea here? Do you think that Carson Beck is in that kind of same situation that Fromm and Bennett was?
You know, I wish I had the answer for Carson Beck, because I think I could make a lot of money if I could. And I'd love to hear what the Georgia coaches, and I don't mean what they say publicly, I mean the talk that happens in the film room and in the staff meeting rooms when they get together about Carson Beck. Is he not making the right read? Is he forcing the ball where it, you know, where he shouldn't be? What's happening there that is creating so many turnovers? Because that's been the issue for Carson Beck. Is what is it, eight? Is it eight interceptions in the last three games or something like that? I mean, you can't turn it over like that and expect to continue to be able to win at a very high level. And yeah, it's eight interceptions over the last three games. So, you know,
and even if a couple were, you know, funky, there are five or six that were really bad, just thrown
exactly.
Poorly.
Exactly. Bad interceptions. And that's the thing. We talked about it earlier about this game. You're going up against the number one offense in the SEC. You don't want to continue to give Ole Miss possessions. I think the key today for Georgia, in, you know, as we take a look at this game, it's going to be the ability to run the football today.
Which they haven't done.
They need to be able to line up and run the ball, kind of control this game a little bit. I do think that Georgia, you know, may be the one team not named Oregon that could take another loss and still, you know, be in line to be able to make the playoffs. But, you know, as you said, John, it gets really, really difficult if that happens. So, look, Ole Miss can be a tough place to go play. Georgia has more talent for whatever that, you know, for whatever that means and for whatever that's worth. I think Georgia's the more talented team today, but you still got to go get it done.
Yeah, well, they're the most talented team in the nation here. Clemson, by the way, we mentioned Clemson at Virginia Tech in the 3:30 window. I know it's been disappointing, but I want to remind everybody, Clemson is not dead yet. Okay, Clemson is dead as a wild card team, yes. Clemson goes to Blacksburg and wins today. Clemson is still alive to potentially sneak in the back door of the ACC championship game. They're not dead yet, Chris. If they win out, they could even lose to South Carolina and be one of those teams that we talked about at the beginning of the year, a three-loss team in a championship game. Now, they're going to have a lot of dominoes fall their way, but they're not dead yet.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't see Clemson-Miami or Clemson-SMU down the stretch. You mentioned the game today against Virginia Tech. If you can get past them, you've got Pitt, and that's on the road, by the way. But then you've got the Citadel and South Carolina to close it out. So if you can do it today, you've still got to deal with Pitt, but you win today, you go to 6-1 in the conference, and you know you're waiting to see if Miami or SMU will stub their toe somewhere here down.
Right, if SMU stubs its toe, that's right. You go to Pittsburgh, you eliminate Pittsburgh. Suddenly, I mean, Clemson and Miami in the SEC title game could happen.
The problem, John, is when you start, you know, SMU is the fly in the ointment if you're a Clemson fan. Because when you look at this, SMU already has a nice win over Pitt. That happened last weekend. They've got Boston College, Virginia, and Cal today. So should be pretty smooth sailing for SMU to face Miami in the, you know, we talked about Miami earlier. They got Georgia Tech today, and then it's Wake and Syracuse. So, look, I think it sets up well for it to be Miami and SMU in that ACC title game. Clemson's got to have some help, and not only have help They've got to have an upset in order to get it done.
Stranger thing, I'm just telling you, stranger things have happened. So Clemson, my only point stands. Clemson is not dead yet. All right, best of the nation. We'll talk a little bit about Alabama LSU and where we stand about who's in and who's out. And one 26.5-point underdog that we're looking at today. I've got to talk about that next on College Football Game Time. John Fricke and Chris Goforth on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dos on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, taking you to the top of the hour coverage of Florida and Texas from Austin live today. Also on the radio station, Hawks and Bulls. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock tonight from State Farm Arena. 7 o'clock for United and Miami. On Star 94 tonight, if you're looking for the Five Stripes against Messi, Star 94 with Mike Conley and Jason Longshore. Best of the Nation segment here. We mentioned earlier, Chris Goforth, the loser of Alabama LSU, out. Out, out, out. You lose this game, you're out. And the coach, Brian Kelly or Kalen DeBoer, is going to have to answer to a very upset fan base to be eliminated from the playoffs and relegated to a lesser bowl by, you know, the 9th of November with another month to go in the season. Ole Miss would be out with a loss against Georgia today. So if you're looking at, and Georgia would not necessarily be out, by the way. It would ding them, but they wouldn't be out. If you look at Alabama and LSU, let's just say it's Alabama, let's say it's Ole Miss. You'd add them to a list of teams that are already out, Chris. I mean, Michigan and Washington, the two finalists that played in the national title game, have been out for a long time. Florida State, which was complaining at 13-0 about not being in the Final Four, has been out since the opening loss against Georgia Tech, pretty much. Oklahoma's been out for a long time. Utah's been out for a long time. USC, I mean, a lot of blue bloods that had designs on being in this playoff, this first ever playoff, were out from the jump or in the last month or been out a long time. And so it's going to open the door for a playoff. I guess that we're going to see some teams that we did not expect to see standing and playing in that opening round of this playoff.
John, I think if you go back to Labor Day weekend, you promised a new era of college football. I don't know that we expected it to be this new. But, look, I think it's interesting. I love having SMU in the mix. I love Pitt being relevant. I love to see BYU be relevant in the college football conversation again. So, I like what's happening here. This has been a maybe a rough year for some blue bloods, but I think it's been a fun year just to kind of watch how this is all kind of falling out, especially when, again, you go back to late August, first part of September, we had no clue what it was going to look like
with all of the conference expansion and all the changes that had taken place. But I think it's been
We got early indications when Tech won in Ireland over Florida State to start the season.
We knew.
And then that was shortly followed by and it's been forgotten. Notre Dame's loss was to Northern Illinois, and you know, so and how that may reshape the college football season here. Florida State 13-0, complaining about not being in. Jordan Travis gets injured. They got to put the Brock Lynn in, and of course it all goes to hell in the in the bowl game against Georgia. And now 1-8, and just a disaster down in Tallahassee. And some fans asking me, Noles fans, why won't they just fire Mike Norvell and hire Prime? Well, the answer, of course, is they own Norvell a gazillion dollars, like $63 million or something, whatever the buyout is, Chris. But they also, on top of that, are trying to sue, they're suing the ACC to get out of the grant of rights, and that's another $70 million that they got to try and, you know, the first order of business is not to fire Mike Norvell. The first order of business is to get out of the ACC, and they can't afford to do both. I'm not sure they can afford to do either.
Yeah, I mean, that, look, they're in between a rock and a hard place. I think Norvell's buyout right now would be the second largest in college football history behind only Jimbo's. So you're going to see that guy probably get a chance to hang around. He's going to get at least another year there. And you're right, John. I just think there's a whole lot going on around Florida State Athletics that – you know, if you're just solely focused on football, you may not realize everything else that's going on. And also, too, look, Florida State, historically speaking, for all the success they had under Bobby Bowden, they have not exactly been one that has spent a lot of money. I mean, you go back, their facilities, and I don't know what they look like now. Last time I was at Florida State, their facilities were nothing to brag about. I mean, it was not what you see at most of your SEC programs, for sure, or Clemson even, because Clemson's spent a ton of money to make things better there.
Florida State at Notre Dame today. Notre Dame, a 26.5-point favorite. When would we have ever thought that Florida State versus Notre Dame, the Irish would be 26.5-point favorites? 26.5.
So don't you think all the pressure today is on Notre Dame? Like, if you're Florida State,
well, of course,
you roll up in there, you got no pressure on you. You can go, you should be able to go into this and play loose. You know, the problem, and there's a lot of problems at Florida State, but, you know, you start talking about, okay, what's the path to pulling the upset? Well, it has to start with finding some dadgum offense to start with, because they have just absolutely had none. And again, this is one of those where There is no good reason your TV should still be on this game after 8 p.m. tonight. If they kick it off at 7:30, by 8 o'clock, you know what's going to happen. Unless you just either you're a huge Notre Dame fan or you just enjoy watching Florida State lose, there is no reason for you to hang in this game anytime past 8 o'clock.
We mentioned Michigan and Indiana. Just one thought about this game. Before the season began, there were, you know, the places in Vegas put out lines for individual games, you know, throughout the year. And the initial line on this game before the season kicked off was Michigan minus 14. The line today is Indiana minus 14. That's how much it's flipped. 28-point flip. You said there was a bias against Indiana based on just name value, which I understand. Of course, you know, they haven't played the toughest schedule in the world. And I was talking to some Indiana fans kind of off the ledge who were really upset about the fact that they thought they were undervalued in the opening poll. I'm like, it doesn't matter where you're ranked in the opening poll. If you win out, if you beat Michigan and beat Ohio State and then beat Purdue and then beat Oregon, you're going to be the number one seed in the playoff. Okay, that's all there is to it. You'll be the number one seed. And you just have to do it. So just, you know, worry about what's in front of you. Don't worry about what the committee is saying about you. I've watched Indiana football now for the last nearly 20-some-odd years. My wife went to IU, so she watches all the games. I watched them when they stunk. IU has lost more football games than any program in the history of college football. Michigan has won more football games than any program in the history of college football. How about that? And Indiana goes into the game today. I've watched this team from the jump this year. They are really, really good.
Well,
it's a team I wouldn't want to play.
especially this Indiana defense.
Michael Kamara. Michael Kamara, you know, Travis Hunter's going to win Defensive Player of the Year because, you know, the two-way thing. You don't know how good Michael Kamara is, and not related to Alvin. Michael Kamara is a defensive lineman at Indiana who is, oh, my God, he's unblockable.
Yeah.
He's so quick, so fast, and blows everything up. That dude, I want him on the Falcons. And their offense, Curtis Rourke, this team, Surratt can play. They've got two great running backs in Lawson and Ellison. They've got a really good defense. See, Indiana, one of the things they've got with Kurt Cignetti is they had a veteran offensive line and a veteran defensive line to begin with. And then when Cignetti bought in guys from 13 players from James Madison, of whom that he had coached, there was continuity in those 13 players transferring over, players that were used to winning, and players on the offensive and defensive line who knew how to run the system. So they were all in kind of concert from the jump. I've seen this team play every single game this year. I'm telling you, I'm going to be really intrigued how they handle the next 2 weeks against Michigan and Ohio State, because on paper, I think they're the best team in the Big Ten. Now I have to see it on the field, because my eye test is they're every bit as good as Oregon. That's how good I think they are. But they got to prove it to me.
So is Curtis Rourke, in your opinion, a little bit maybe underappreciated or undervalued nationally?
I think if he hadn't gotten his thumb injured against Nebraska and missed the next game, yeah, I think he'd be in New York.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think he's had a phenomenal year, and I realize he's gotten some attention, but he probably hasn't gotten what he deserves attention-wise, and as we talked about from the jump here with Indiana, that defense is really, really good. I mean, that's the calling card for them, is how good they are defensively.
Yeah, they are really good defensively at all three levels. And that's on top of the fact they have the number one offense in the nation. And they are really efficient. They don't make mistakes. It's a really good football team. And Kurt Cignetti, the only downside to this is, you know, we talk about like teams like Florida State and Florida and USC and Oklahoma and Michigan who are not happy with their head coaches. And everybody kind of looking at it, how much can we spend to get Kurt Cignetti here? You know, we'll see about how that works out. Army, another great story. There's some great stories as we talk about some of those blue bloods that are out, you know, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Oklahoma, Utah, USC, whatever the list was. And added to that today, the loser of Alabama, LSU, and Ole Miss, maybe. We talk about all those blue bloods, those highfalutin teams that are going to be out after today, already are or will be out. You look at teams like Vanderbilt, and you look at teams like, I'm not saying Army's going to make it in, but at 8-0 going to North Texas, Army, if Notre Dame wins today, Army's next game is going to be Notre Dame. And so Army can eliminate Notre Dame. And if they beat Notre Dame, the committee is going to step back and go, whoa, wait a second now, is it automatically Boise State?
Yeah, I think Army can certainly be a team that causes a little bit of problem for whoever the group of four representative is going to be. I want to hold off any thought on Army until we see them take on Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium. After we get that game, then I think we can kind of have a much better feel for who this Army team is and where they fit in. Because if they can get by Notre Dame, John, they're going to go undefeated.
We'll worry about it when they get to the Notre Dame game, because the committee has a massive problem with Army in that they have a game after the committee picks the field. They have to play Navy, and that's after Selection Sunday or whatever, Selection Saturday, whatever it's going to be. It's a Selection Sunday. I don't even know. I think it is. Got to be right. It's really interesting to see. What's going to happen here in terms of games that we did not expect at the beginning of the year to have such impact on the playoff. Indiana at Ohio State, Army at Notre Dame. Heck, who knows? You know, South Carolina and Vanderbilt. Because, you know, Vanderbilt, by the way, Vanderbilt's not dead yet. There's a path. There's an actual path for Vanderbilt.
Not an easy one. But there is
not an easy one. They need help.
There is a path for Vanderbilt, certainly. But, you know, I just think the excitement they've been.
All right, I just add in, I didn't mean to interrupt you. All right, so I just mentioned games that are going to be important just because it's in your world. Who would have thought that there could be such an unthinkable thing as a critical playoff game between Vanderbilt and Tennessee coming up?
Yeah, could be. Could be. I mean, there could be, you know, that game could mean something maybe for the first time in, gosh, I don't know, when was the last time those two played each other in a meaningful game? I mean, even the years that James Franklin was able to get a win over Tennessee, those games, there wasn't a whole lot on the line for those games. I mean, you'd probably have to go back to the 1930s, you know, when Vanderbilt was the powerhouse in the, you know, in the SEC. I mean, that's the reason why, you know, Tennessee hired Bob Nealon to come in and take over the program, was because they couldn't beat Vanderbilt. And that was, you know, General Nealon was hired to come in so they could figure out a way to beat Vanderbilt. And Georgia and Vandy had some great clashes, if you know the history of the SEC, back in the 1930s. So it's and before that, going back to the 1920s. So there's it'd be interesting to have that game actually mean something for the first time in, you know, 100 years.
You could have saved yourself a lot of words by saying, ain't no one alive ever seen a game like this.
That's true. That's true. That is definitely true.
So, yeah, because if Vanderbilt wins today against South Carolina and then beats LSU, let's say LSU loses to Alabama and sort of quits. Well, even if they don't, Vanderbilt can beat them. We know that because they already beat Alabama, right? I mean, so Vanderbilt beats South Carolina and LSU. That Vanderbilt-Tennessee game becomes really interesting. I mean, really interesting. Oh, and by the way, at some point, do we start talking about, you know, not only that, we start talking about Diego Pavia being player of the year in the SEC?
Oh,
we
John,
might.
John. Can you give it to a guy? I get the results, man, but that complete, you start looking at those numbers, that completion percentage,
But if he's clutch,
hey,
I mean, clutch is clutch.
I hear you. All right, you got me. Let's throw him into conversation.
Well, let's see what he does. You know, I mean, we're 3 weeks away from making that call, but let's see. I am just saying, that's how wild a season it is, isn't it? When we get back, a little pick and poker. We'll pick the four games that Abe and Garrett have already picked. Chris, Noel, White, and I will do that. And our wild card game, it's all next, leading to top of the hour coverage of Florida and Texas right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for the guys to put it all on the line as they give you their picks of the week.
Brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this football season at mancavestore.com.
College football game time, 20 minutes away from our coverage of Florida and Texas, live from Austin. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, Noel White is the executive producer of College Football Game Time. She has to, you know why, I love Noel, just personally I love her anyway, but Chris, you know why I'm really impressed with her? Is that she has to sit through 4 hours of College Football Game Time with four different hosts in three different locations.
And she doesn't lose her cool. She's only yelled at me three or four times this year, John. So, I mean, she's just, you know, she is just Joe Cool back there, making sure everything runs okay.
And she runs the board for the Wade Ford and for all. I mean, she's our go-to.
She has to put up with you all weekend.
She likes me.
She should get combat pay for that, shouldn't she?
She likes me.
Conti, throw her an extra dollar an hour for dealing with you that long? Come
no,
on.
You like me, don't you? I mean, we're friends, aren't we?
Of course.
Well, I've only known you since I was a teenager, so we won't go into those stories.
Right, exactly. Well, we were youngins. All right, so we call it pick and poker because it's four of a kind, four games we all pick, and a wild card. And the wild card game is your choice, any game that you want to choose. And we will mock people if they say, I'm going to take Ohio State to beat Purdue. No, you can't do that, okay? It's just like keep it in the realm of possibility here. So, Ms. Noel, do you want to go? First off, do you want to update? Noel, you have the standings in front of you, correct?
I do indeed, John. Let's see.
Okay, and where do we stand?
Skip this part, by the way.
No, we have to do it.
Standings. Okay, Garrett is 37-13. He went 5-0 last week. He's in the lead. Abe is 34-16. He went 3-2 last week on vacation. I am 32-18. I went 1-4 last week, along with you and Chris going 1-4. Chris is 31-19, and John, you are 31-19.
Yeah, so that puts me 6 games behind Garrett, which is a leading indicator to all of you who are keeping score at home to understand that Garrett Chapman is a cheater. Okay, just understand he's a known cheater.
Thank you.
And so he fudges the books, and he paid Noel quite a bit of money
every
every time. I know, this is the way it works. Okay, Ms. Noel, you get to bat first here. Let's talk about BYU and Utah in the Holy War. Late tonight, 10:15 start in Salt Lake City. For those of you who never been to Salt Lake, Rice-Eccles Stadium, which once hosted the opening ceremonies of the Winter Olympics, and one of my 5 favorite stadiums in the entire country. Up in the mountains above Salt Lake City, it's absolutely gorgeous. About 48,000 seats, really a cool, cool place. And both these programs, like the NFL fans, Noel, who don't understand, who are not in Atlanta and the Swamp, don't understand how heated the Saints and Falcons rivalry is. Most of the nation has no idea just how this is one of the great most. I mean, it's right up there with Alabama, Auburn, Michigan, Ohio State for rivalry hate. BYU, Utah. These Provo and Salt Lake City despise each other.
The Holy Bowl.
Oh, yeah, the Holy War.
The Holy War. All right. Well, I'm going to go with number 9, BYU, because the standings are officially out. And if they want to stay in the playoffs, they can't drop this game.
And, you know, doing play-by-play, Chris, in the Mountain West Conference for, as I did for a number of years, you know, I got to learn to dislike BYU. No offense to all you, you know, I love Mormons. San Diego State, San Diego, California, is the second largest Mormon population in the country behind only Salt Lake, so I mean, I'm perfectly fine with LDS. BYU, not so much. Okay. So who do you like, BYU and Utah, as BYU has done such a great job of getting to be one of the few, 4 or 5 unbeaten teams left in the nation? Who do you like, Chris?
I like BYU. I like BYU for all the things that Noel just said.
I don't care how you bring him, just don't bring him young. That's kind of what we used to say at San Diego State. Kalani Sitake, who is BYU's head coach, has done a fabulous job at BYU. I dare say that he did a better job than Bronco Mendenhall. I think he's probably been the best head coach that BYU has had since Lavelle Edwards. Jake Retzlaff at quarterback can move it a little bit with his feet. He can hurl it down the field. BYU has won a bunch of close games, and that's good. I'm not sold that BYU is really a threat here, okay? I look at BYU, put them on a – I mean, BYU versus South Carolina, I'm probably taking South Carolina, okay? I'm not trying to downplay BYU. I'm just trying to tell you I don't think they're all that in a bag of chips. Even without Cam Rising at home, I'm going to go with Utah. This is the heated rivalry. I'm going to take the Utes to win this game. Look, BYU's beaten some quality teams. They beat SMU, only team to do that so far this year. They beat Kansas State in probably their best game of the year. But still, again, BYU's another prove-it-to-me team, okay? And they're going to have to prove it. And if the Cougars do prove it, then, yeah, they'll get a bye. They'll be in and they'll get a bye here. Noel, Colorado at Texas Tech in Lubbock today.
I am going with Colorado. That's the team that's trying to fight their way into the playoffs. So it starts today.
How about that, Chris? Colorado, at the beginning of the year, early second week of the year, Colorado went to Lincoln, and Nebraska just beat the hell out of them. And at that point, everybody's like, you guys are done. Prime managed to get that thing righted, and he's got that team. He and Pat Shurmur, who former NFL head coach, has done a really good job of kind of setting the pace on that staff for them, he and Eric Bieniemy. And so Prime's got a good staff. That team's kind of turned it around, and there are people going, hey, now, can Colorado make the playoff?
Yeah, no is the answer. I got Texas Tech at home today, John, in a tight one. I think there's going to be a whole bunch of points scored, and I like Texas Tech to pull the upset.
Yeah, Noel, just so you know, Lubbock is an interesting city. I don't dislike it. We went and played a game there, and you feel kind of trapped. You're out there in the middle of the West Texas Plains, and there ain't nothing around, and It's like, okay, how do we deal with this? And weird things happen there, by the way. Really weird things. Primarily because it's such a screw-with-your-mind kind of place. Ole Miss and Georgia is game number three. Who do you like, Noel?
I'm going with Georgia.
Any other reason than you're just being a Georgia fan? Or?
I mean, Georgia has a path that they're on, right? Georgia has something to prove that they're still Georgia, in the, whether it's a 4-team playoff or a 12-team playoff. Georgia's trying to prove that they're still the number one team in the country, whether it's a 4-team playoff or a 12-team playoff. So you can't do that and lose to Ole Miss.
Again, the stat from earlier in the show, if you missed it, Chris Goforth, is, let me go get it because I want to read it correctly. No, it's not on, is that on that page or this page? Here. It's on this page. Let me find it here. About the floor. Okay. UGA, here it is. UGA has not lost, Chris Goforth, UGA has not lost to any team not named Alabama since they lost to Florida in 2020, over 4 years. The Dogs have won 51 straight games against any team not named Alabama.
And the streak will continue, John. I think Georgia will, they'll get the ground game going today, take a little bit of pressure off Carson Beck. And when that happens, I think it's going to make Georgia's offense a lot harder to stop. And I think eventually all of those five-star guys that Georgia stacks out there every down on the defensive side of the ball will prove to be too much. I think Georgia wins. John, I think they kind of win this by maybe two touchdowns. I mean, if you told me it would be like a 31-17 type affair today, I would believe that.
All right, Noel, Alabama, LSU in Red Stick, 7:30 tonight. So my question, of course, to you is how many of the 100,000 will be drunk by kickoff?
Ooh, man, probably 90%.
That's what I'm thinking.
It's a night game in LSU, so I got to go with the Tigers on that one. Sorry, Bama.
She's go Tigers. How did Orgeron say it, Chris? Go Tiger. You know, Alabama, LSU, Chris.
How many of them are drunk now? That may be the question because they've started
early.
Well,
that would just be a general state of life for a lot of people in Baton Rouge. But anyway.
They have started early. I want to take LSU, too. It's just, look, that LSU at home at night, nobody wants to go in there. And I don't think Alabama does either.
Noel, what is your wild card game today?
My wild card game is South Carolina at Vandy, and I am taking South Carolina today.
To knock off, is, would that be an upset, by the way?
I'm only saying yes because Vanderbilt is ranked, but I think South Carolina can get them.
Chris, what is your wild card game?
Man, I keep going back and forth with this today, John. I thought it was a tough day to try to come up with something. A healthy Haynes King and Georgia Tech today pull off another massive upset and beat Miami today at home.
Wow, so they dominate the state of Florida, huh?
There you go, wow. Florida State champs.
Yeah, Florida State champs. Wow, that happens, Chris Goforth. Props to you next week here. So I already took Utah and the BYU-Utah game. I am going to go with Texas Tech as well because of the nature of Lubbock here. Georgia and Ole Miss. Again, 51 straight wins against teams not named Alabama. Until that streak is broken, I cannot go against Georgia. Plus, they're just a better team. I think Alabama is going to show out tonight at LSU. We've seen them. Alabama's such a weird team with Kalen DeBoer. At times, like first half against Georgia and stuff, they look like they are the best team in the nation. And then, of course, there are times where they look like they're, oh, my God, no. LSU's minus 12 players today with injuries. I think Brian Kelly's under a lot of pressure. I just think Alabama's going to have a really good night tonight. And I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout or anything, but I think Alabama's going to find a way to win this game, and you get one of those Ryan Williams moments or something like that. So I'm going to go with the Tide. And my wild card game, this is like the fourth time this has happened this year where everybody's picking wild cards. Abe took Duke over NC State. Garrett took Arizona State over Central Florida. Chris, as you know, just took Tech in an upset over Miami. And then Noel takes South Carolina over Vanderbilt. And I get to be the last to go on the wild card. And everybody will pick a wild card. And then Noel will pick her wild card. And it's the exact same one I've got. I'm like, quit stealing my thunder here. South Carolina is going to use that defense, Chris. And for all the goodwill and all the great stuff that Vanderbilt's done this year, I just think this is a different animal. South Carolina's defensive line, right there among their top three, if not top two, in the nation. And that defensive line is so good. I think you talk about Pavia. That's why I was talking about, you know, being player of the year. I think it's going to be a long night for Diego. I think he's going to be running around trying to save his life for most of the night. I'll go with South Carolina over Vanderbilt.
You know, my issue, John, when you take a look at him and what he has done, and he's been clutch. It's just, you know, I want to see him complete a higher percentage of his passes. And the thing about this, too, they're at home tonight, or today, rather. Mm-hmm. It's this afternoon, and what is a big game for Vanderbilt. What does that crowd look like? Because for years, when Vandy played at home, if they played a conference game, the rest of the SEC rolled into Nashville and took over. So,
it's only 29,000 seats right now, right? I mean, because they had to cut it down.
They're doing the construction. They're doing the construction. But still, you've got an opportunity at Vanderbilt. Now, if you cannot create some sort of home environment now, when? When will you ever do it at Vanderbilt if you can't do it now?
Right, exactly. All right, again, today on the station, Florida, Texas in a few minutes. Hawks and Bulls coverage starts at 7 with the pregame, 7:30 tip. State Farm Arena, Hawks and Bulls tonight. If you're looking for United Miami at 7 o'clock on Star 94. Also a reminder, we're back both Chris and I tomorrow. I'll be on Wade Ford at the Wade Ford Tailgate Show 9 to 11 with Joe Patrick. Chris with Mike Johnson on the network pregame at 11. And, of course, Wes and Dave with the call. Falcons and Swampers Hate Week down in the Swamp tomorrow, live on Sports Radio 90 tonight on the game. For Abe and Garrett and Chris and Noel, John Fricke here saying enjoy the college football Saturday. And we'll talk to you about all the twists and turns next week on College Football Game Time.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.